must understand that Kate is very nervous about this whole thing.
Absolutely. Who's Kate?
My wife.
Oh, yeah. She snores.
She doesn't snore.
You calling me a liar?
Just keep your distance, all right? And try to be considerate.
No problem.
That is not considerate. That is the opposite of considerate. That is inconsiderate. Let's just settle down here. Let's just take this one step at a time. There's no need for you to shave. You'll look fine.
I want to do everything you do. You're my idol.
Okay.
Okay.
I didn't say it like that.
No, I said it like that.
All right.
No.
You are not listening. You are not currently listening to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Oh, no, you're not.
No, this is episode 2 of It's Not Star Trek.
Nice. What?
Episode 2 of It's Not Star Trek.
Oh, my gosh.
It's not episode 251.
In which we will...
Oh, my gosh.
We will be discussing the pilot of the series Alien Life Form.
Ah!
Alien Life Form.
Alien Life Form, season 1, episode 01, titled ALF.
Hello. Hello. This is K726XAA. Can you read me?
Yes, that's how it starts.
It's an ALF.
Okay. Yes, okay.
An ALF.
That's Willie.
Willie!
Hey! Hey, Willie!
Do you think Willie's got a big Willie?
Oh, man.
Maybe.
Well, we did see those pictures. Anyway, sorry. We're getting ahead of ourselves. The crackhead pictures, all that. We'll get to that later. Okay.
It's kind of burying the lead a little bit. I think. It's not a crackhead picture. That is burying the lead.
Is it burying the lead?
I mean, I guess it's sort of, but you're announcing the lead that you...
So it's not burying it.
Because you're not... That's announcing... That's announcing the lead.
Coyly teasing.
You're coiling the lead.
No, not coiling.
You're coiling the lead.
Coyly.
This is incredible.
I hope so by the end of it. Not just yet, but we do hope to achieve some degree of incredibleness along the way. Yes, we are discussing ALF, the first episode of ALF.
We have a visitor.
Hello. Anybody there? Yo. Calling anybody from Melmac. Hello.
Melmac. Alien life form. Oh, okay. Yes. So it's not Star Trek.
Nope.
Episode 2.
It's not. So don't even think that. Don't tell your friends.
Oh man, I forgot. You should.
Don't tell your bosses or lovers.
All right. So for
that, it's got Star Trek because it's not got Star Trek. Get it straight in your head.
Okay.
We don't mean it like that.
No.
That sounds mean.
We do need to discuss ALF, but I was going to mention that. For folks who are not aware and they're like, what the fuck is going on? What are they talking about? It's not Star Trek. This is something we do periodically, as in we did it once before.
Yeah. It was pickled.
On January 8th, 2022, we did the first episode of It's Not Star Trek called It's Got Pickles. And that is a great episode. If you like pickles and aren't too offended by pickle crunching sounds.
Oh, right. That's the.
Yeah. We do have an ASMR warning at the beginning, but that is an excellent episode. Go back. Check it out. If you don't want to scroll back in your feed, you can also go to the website and click on It's Not Star Trek in the list of all the categories, and it will come right up.
So There's so much content.
They could.
Truly amazing.
So that was It's Got Pickles. This is It's Got ALF, Alien Life Form. And
so the show is not called ALF, just the name of the episode is ALF.
No, the name of the episode is A period.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. L period F. It's ALF, but the show is just...
The show is ALF with no periods, but all capitals.
Yeah.
Traditionally.
Yes. Yeah. Which is interesting that they're both all caps, but only one of them has periods in it, which is notable, I feel.
I am not kidding when I said I dug around and tried to find a behind-the-scenes justification for that, and I was disappointed that, at least in the time allotted, I could not.
They were just weren't thinking.
Well, I think there's a story there.
Mm.
I don't know how fascinating the story is, but I know I am fascinated to learn that story. But thus far, unsexfully, in my research.
Only 21 minutes. I know that episodes are obviously shorter than...
1.21 gigawatts.
Free association. 21 minutes. I know that shows are generally, they're generally less than 30 minutes, but I don't remember TV shows quite being that short. I thought they were more like 23, 24 minutes.
Some of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, no, it's they squeeze a lot of commercials in there. Yeah. Sure it seemed do. Like they had more commercials on Alf than, because I'm pretty sure Simpsons and stuff were released back in the day. Weren't they 22 minutes?
I thought they were at least 20, 23.
Bob's Burgers and stuff, it feels like they're 22 minutes, or maybe it's like 21, 30 or something. I don't know. Who knows?
It's probably about the same somewhere by maybe
Did you know
a minute or two.
There's apparently an unaired original pilot.
What's a pilot?
You turned the tables on me. You did the thing that I did and then you did it. See, I usually say when Patrick says
generally that's your
pilot, I go, what's a pilot? Because it's a quote from Pulp Fiction.
And then we mentioned it's a quote from Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, and so, wow.
And then I'll say something that's a stream of consciousness, and you'll say a stream of consciousness.
Right. Zed's dead.
Damn. Yeah.
Even though it's not necessarily a stream of consciousness. I think when somebody says 21, if you say 1.21 gigawatts.
I said free association.
Oh, yeah, you did say free association. Yeah. Never mind. Mm-hmm. That was a straw man. That was an unintentional straw man, where I invented an argument you weren't making, and I attacked that argument. My apologies.
You're talking to me?
I am. Alf.
Oh, you commented on the fact that I commented on your free association.
Yeah, but you were commenting on... Anyway.
Okay, this is getting a little too meta.
Yeah, too meta.
So,
alien life form.
So, yeah, it's...
Alf.
Alf. The Tanner family is having an ordinary life until late that night a UFO crashes into their garage, leaving them with a being from another world.
Sorry. It's just you said UFO.
I said UFO.
Now you said UFO.
Okay, well, I'll have to listen to that back because I don't recall
it.
It's
charming.
UFO.
I kind of want
to
call them UFOs now.
Well, you should do that. Nice. So the original unaired pilot is the Tanner family is having an ordinary life until late that night a UFO crashed in their garage, leaving them with baiting from another world. This one is called Alien Life Form Gordon Shumway crash lands into the garage of the Tanner family. The Tanners call him Alf, decide to keep his presence a secret so that the U.S. government will not take away the space being and subject him to experiments. This is basically the same episode. Apparently, the pilot, the original unaired pilot is from April 1st. They aired. It just says April 1st, 2022, whatever that means. I guess that's air date. I guess
maybe it's
an
April Fool's joke.
Whoa. You might be right.
Well, the thing is,
would that be for the April Fool's joke to extend beyond April Fool's only in label because it's labeled April 1st, but it's not April 1st. So you think IMDb is doing some extra kind of April Fool's joke because it's labeled that?
Probably not, but I did not know the fact that you just mentioned about the original pilot. I knew there was an original unaired pilot, which is not unusual, right? That's pretty normal, par for the course, as they say, in golfing circles. And
I can't believe it.
But now that you mention that, the plot, it seems to me that the beginning of this episode is probably from that pilot. It's probably from like the end of that pilot because it's all this. It's a very awkward freeze frame that they start this episode with. Mm-hmm. And then there's a voiceover that also seems very awkward and artificial, like it was added in later. So I can imagine if the original unaired pilot was a lot of their family life shenanigans leading up to Alf landing. And then maybe they were we need to put that at the beginning of the episode.
So so it's the same episode. Maybe it's like the director's cut. Basically.
I think, what happens sometimes in pilots is they get rid of sometimes they get rid of all of it, but sometimes they get rid of most of it, but they still use what they can use because it's expensive to film shit.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah?
It sounds like there was more to say with what you just said.
Sounds like, but there wasn't.
What I was saying is that the original unaired pilot that they aired April 1st, 2022 is essentially the director's cut of what got released on September 22nd, 1986.
I don't know. I bet they filmed a lot more. My guess is they filmed a lot more.
Yeah, but
because they always have to like correct shit.
Point being is that it's not a separate episode. There's bits of the first episode. All of what's in the first episode is in the unaired pilot. Or at least most of it.
No, I would say the opposite. I would say there's probably like a minute of footage from the pilot that they spliced in when they needed certain things. But maybe not. I don't know.
I would think that the one that aired would be the one that is fully present in the unaired one. And the unaired one would be the one that aired plus more.
What I enjoy most about this conversation is how ignorant both you and I are about it. Like, there's no way we would know.
We're speculating.
We're speculating with very flippant, like, there's literally no argument. It's like, I just feel this way.
I got a feeling.
It just sort of seems like it. I got a vibe. Okay, before we get too much further, I do want to note, we will do a second break fun-em-up, a where are they now type Fun-em-up. Where we talk about the key people in this episode, and you know, most of them who stuck around for much of the series. So we will do that in the second break, but we'll start out here with continuing our discussion of this crazy ass TV show.
Let's have a snack now. We'll get friendly later.
Yes.
Right. And then he says, "You got a cat."
He does say, he does. He's going with the cat shenanigans.
The cat, from the cat stuff is right from the beginning.
And then we could eat their cat.
That was actually really good.
And that was a good ending line.
That's really loud, dude.
Yeah.
You got a cat?
Maybe that was the one.
You got a cat?
That was the one. That was the one I was thinking of.
You got any cat?
Got any cat? Okay.
Really weird looking living room, like classic 80s TV kind of.
Their garage was
suburbs,
weird. Yeah,
the funniness.
Yeah, where it's like the couch is always in the directly in the middle of the room and facing the audience, which makes sense. But it's always in the middle of the fucking room. There's always stairs in the back going like sideways in the back.
Somewhere.
And the kitchen's off to the left or right or the other side. It's always
it's a play set.
Yeah, it's a play set.
Not a play set. It's a
for
it's
a
like
play.
A set for a play. Side.
Yeah, their garage was interesting too. The garage like had these weird semi staircase platforms in the background that seemed to go up to some second floor that wasn't really a second floor. It was more like a loft or something.
Right,
I don't know. It's like, interesting. I kind of dug
that
garage.
It looked cooler than their house.
Yeah, for real, for sure.
And there was the bit like the sort of other classic thing where they show the outside of the building that some kind of building that's supposed to be the house, and like they all like zoom in on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They did that on like Golden Girls too.
Did that on a lot, like pretty much all
like
of
lots of yeah, lots
well,
of.
Well, the TV. This was of the era where they just mastered the art of sitcom making, and it was just very formulaic.
Yeah.
And so one I think side effect of creating a formula is they've like, okay, here's the perfect formula for how you do these shows. So now in order to have the shows differentiate from each other, the premises have to become increasingly absurd and ridiculous.
Right.
Right?
Like
and so
there's an alien
who looks like a puppet and just speaks English perfectly and makes jokes about not getting jokes, but clearly understands the concept of the jokes. If you catch me, you know?
Well, he knew some like classic lines, he knew this one.
Hello, read my lips.
Yeah, that one. Well, that, exactly.
And somehow he knew this one too.
Cross my heart.
He knew that one too.
Yeah.
So he knows, and at the end he was talking some joke about a droid and a cranble at the end.
Yeah.
Right.
That part we didn't know. We don't know what a cramble is.
Yeah, we don't know what a cramble is.
So he knows our stuff, but we don't
know. Yeah, we don't know they're his stuff. It's not fair.
It's not a two-way street.
I don't feel like he would have. You think he did studying? I mean, I guess he got close enough to Earth to crash into it, so he must have done some studying. But I feel like it was an accident. He didn't mean to crash into Earth.
At least in the confines of this episode, we're not provided enough information.
to
like sort of a theory.
It's funny because when people joke about like, you know, when you like overanalyze like Star Trek or something, it's in the end it's a TV show, dude, like have some fun with it, and like we gotta hit that mark a lot earlier with Alf. I think
the thing is that I know we're a little all over the place here, but the thing that's what's sort of inconsistent about it is the episode starts with Willie being like and then you know he's hearing something, and then he turns on the audio.
He's got like shortwave radio,
yeah, and then you hear Paul Fusco Alf being all like bleep blarf 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 narfle narfle marf marf blarf blarf.
Interesting concept.
So he's speaking an alien language, but then when he crashes, then he can speak English. And I think and tell me if you think I'm wrong here, but I got the impression that we were supposed to understand that Alf learned English like in that sort of like when he was like coming in and out of consciousness and overhearing them talking about needles.
Right.
He like that was like when he learned English. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'm giving it a little too much credit.
But how could he all has like a New York accent.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the thing about this.
I think these people are supposed to live out in the valley in California.
Well, that was a question I had is, yeah, if we knew where they were based.
Based on what I read about the show, it does not establish that in this episode.
Yeah, that's
so,
the thing.
So, yeah, so the alien, so this is the alien talk.
The alien life form?
The when we were speaking alien languages, the alien life forms.
Yeah.
Now, I thought that might be in reverse.
So is that multiple people or is it just one? I guess it's one, and it does sound backwards.
So I played it in reverse, and check it out. Makes no sense. You're like, check
this out. This is a totally fruitless
exercise. Yeah, there was nothing. But so they made it sound backwards without actually saying anything.
This
so
is
all a, they did was rip 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 rip.
All right, just to back up a little bit. What's everyone's history with Alf? I watched a shitload of Alf.
I did,
up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched a lot of Alf.
I remembered bits from this episode.
Yeah, me too. Especially the landing, you know, where mm-hmm. you know, Alf is all like, it's sort of a horrific sci-fi opening where it's like this injured, sad alien, and then they're carrying him around in a fucking
I remember when he hands him the toilet paper instead of the towel.
Yeah,
it's an Alf.
Well, what was interesting to me
it's
is that
elf.
When he handed Willie all that toilet paper instead of giving him a towel, that would have been a classic Willie freakout moment, but he took it in stride. He was handling that one really well.
Yeah, Willie saved the freakout for the fucking wrench business.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right. That's right. Yeah. I remember that, too.
That was his first freakout, was when he went...
And it was... So abrupt. It was so abrupt that wrench, like it caught me off guard because, again.
Does Willie, like, beat them?
Well, yes, I think so because.
Because, like, the way he said wrench was, like, it wasn't just
it was
a
abusive
dude.
Father.
Yeah, it wasn't
style.
Like, it wasn't like a ha ha, he's freaking out, like, kind of comedic thing. It sounded like he really had something going on.
Toxic,
like this isn't just Alf getting on his nerves. Yeah. Like, he has something deep rooted inside
and,
him.
And part of it is not just the sort of the volume and the.
It's not about the wrench.
The volume and the intensity of the scream, but it was how quickly he went. He did say wrench like 3 or 4 times, but he was all like, wrench. Wrench, and then total fucking freak out. It was scary. It was like, oh my god, that's what it's like to have a scary dad.
How does he know how to fix the spaceship?
He doesn't. That's ludicrous. That's,
with just a regular and old Earth wrench.
Like, I don't have the right part.
Yeah, he seemed confident at first.
Is it,
like,
is it imperial or is it metric?
He was all covered in. Like, he was wearing like What's a sweatshirt, and it was all like covered in like oil stains, and he was all like wiping his hands with a rag, like he was just working on some like hot rod.
Right.
That's just silly.
But I will say, before Alf came, Willie shocked himself at the very beginning of the episode on his equipment, and he didn't lose his shit then either, though. Mm-hmm. So you could make an argument that Alf is...
Particularly aggravating,
but the wrench shit, I think, is evidence that that's always been deep-rooted in there. And then, I guess, the wrench was a freak-out, and then... here's his official freak-out. This was actually, I think, before the toilet paper situation.
That is the opposite of considerate. That is... inconsiderate.
You can see he's like really freaking out there too. I can't remember if that or wrench was his first freak out.
I think that was the whole thing with this episode is, and I think it's part and parcel the whole Alf thing, is the incongruence between really bizarre sort of tonal rhythms, some terrible unfunny jokes with the forced laugh track, but then also every now and then some really funny shit, and a lot of the funniest shit is Willie freaking out and Alf, right? They're like the funniest bits, and then as well as we'll get to the Akmanis in a bit.
Alf and Willie got the best lines for sure,
and you know, of course, it's the first episode,
and
but
Trevor.
I remember thinking back on Alf, and I haven't watched it in a long time, but I watched a lot of Alf, and I remember that feeling of like, man, this is like whipping me back and forth between like, that was really stupid to, oh, haha, that's hilarious to, oh, that's poignant or whatever, you know?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Please.
See, everything gets a laugh track back then.
Well,
thanks.
The
Mom.
But you notice about this, please.
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 They're on the same, he does the same pitch.
Yeah.
Same pitch.
Please.
Please.
You're right. He goes out of his way to do it.
Yeah, like that.
I think Paul Fusco is a very good entertainer. He's a good actor, performer, a good puppeteer. By all accounts, he'd been peddling this idea of this Alf TV show. And I forget exactly which TV executive, but the executive wasn't interested until he saw the act. And then he was like, oh, all right, we definitely have to make a TV show out of this.
Help me in.
If we can have a TV show with a bunch of horny old ladies, we can have a TV show with Alf and a bizarre...
Did that come before Alf?
A bizarre man. I think it was around the same time. Yeah, I think it was before. I think Golden Girls was a little bit before. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I can't remember, man. That's way back.
Hard to remember.
When Alf crashed into their house, the screen went negative a few times just for effect. Did you see it? Like went.
Yeah.
It did the thing that Star Trek TAS episode, yes. The counterclock incident, where it reversed everything.
Yeah, go to the negative image.
It just flashed it. Like, that wouldn't really happen. They wouldn't have gone on
it
negative.
It might happen.
Maybe.
Has that ever happened to you?
I have to say, before I forget, that Brian was like, fuck mashed potatoes, right? And like, and it shows like this. I was trying to remember where I got this in my head. Mm-hmm. But here's an example of shows in my youth that I watched that somehow convinced me as a kid that mashed potatoes are yucky. Mm. But the truth is this, mashed potatoes are yummy.
Especially if
they're made properly.
Yes.
Maybe that he had bad gravy.
Yeah, maybe they had bad potatoes
like
back.
It was like a common thing among kids' shows and comic strips and stuff where mashed potatoes were.
Yeah, I never understood that.
They're like mashed potatoes and meatloaf, gross. It's like that shit's delicious.
Well, meatloaf is gross, but
no, it's not. Meatloaf is fucking meatloaf. Do you like fucking hamburger?
Well, meatloaf with the caveat that it's got to be made properly. It can't be
a hamburger is not
dry.
A hamburger is meatloaf. It's like fucking ground beef.
I vehemently disagree.
Yes, no, okay, look, you meatloaf you can add meatloaf you can add breadcrumbs or onions or put some sauce
on
it.
It's a loaf.
It's a loaf.
But it's the same. But it's the same flavor profile.
The ratio of the Maillard reaction.
The same. Oh my god! This
it's crispiness.
It's got the same flavor profile as hamburger. And you want to know why? Because they're both ground fucking beef.
It's like the difference between a regular Rhesus and then like the slightly smaller Rhesus.
No, it's not. That's not even the same.
Yeah, because
it's
the volume. Because when you increase volume, it goes up by
I understand this, but
to the third power.
This does not apply in this situation because with Kit Kats, you're talking about two different ingredients.
I'm not talking about Kit Kats. I'm talking about Reese's pieces.
Okay, fine. Reese's.
Can we go back to talking about mashed potatoes?
Well, Reese's peanut butter cups. You're talking about two separate ingredients: chocolate and peanut butter. This you're talking about
gravy.
You're talking about one ingredient. You're talking about meat and meat.
The cooked crust on the outside of the hamburger patty.
But it's not to the same. It's not to the same degree by any stretch. And I'm not saying that meatloaf and hamburgers are the same thing. What I'm saying is that if you like one, chances are there's a way you're going to figure out how to like the other.
Yeah, but Jesse is anecdotal evidence.
Jesse is full of shit, though. He's just saying that because he's got it in his head for some reason.
I've got it in my head that I like certain things and I don't like other things.
Jesse, if you I don't.
Oh, my crazy head.
Dan's all like, I'm telling you what you like. It's a trick.
Like, okay, if somebody puts a bunch of weird shit on their meatloaf or they let it sit out and get all nasty, sure. But like, I'm just going to say, like, mashed potatoes and meatloaf are yummy when they're not like made like out of a shitty cafeteria. That's all I'm saying. I'm sorry I was questioning your
I can understand why you would say
I'm sorry I challenged your expression of your likes and dislikes. That was inappropriate of me. I should not tell you how to be.
Jesse's full of shit.
I'm just saying.
Dan.
He likes meatloaf. He's just saying that.
Dan, can you do me a favor?
What?
Quick favor. Can you tell me what the fuck we were talking about before we started talking
about We were talking about mashed potatoes.
Mashed potatoes. Oh, one question I had was because, and this is relevant because you mentioned that the kid mentioned mashed potatoes.
Which are really yummy.
So we're still talking about Alf.
Usually.
But given that this was 1980.
Maybe they were instant.
This was 1986. I'm presuming the potatoes haven't changed too much, but the thing is some things have changed. Tomatoes have changed over time, but the more acute change was Brussels sprouts because you made me think about like all the media that says Brussels sprouts are gross. You grow up with that. And then, and then it turns out there's two things that happen. First of all, just boiling fucking Brussels sprouts for 2 hours. Yeah, that's gross. Boiling anything like that is it's not the preferred way to do it. So preparation style is one thing. But I learned that we don't use the same Brussels sprouts they used up through the mid-90s. They changed cultivars. The older cultivar of Brussels sprout had a more bitter flavor. It was just like a shittier thing. And then they came up with a new Brussels sprout that you put a little fucking truffle oil on it, cut in half, roast it up in the oven, and that's just delicious.
So they made like sweeter Brussels sprouts.
I don't know.
What?
I'm just saying it's an example of how media can... it took me a long time to even try those, even though they look good, they smelled good, and I was like, but my TV told me to Brussels sprouts is some bullshit.
I agree with you. I was like shocked when I finally had some Brussels sprouts, decent Brussels sprouts. They were delicious. I love Brussels. They're some of my favorite vegetables.
Yeah, they're really good.
Oh, I still have not grown onto lima beans yet, but maybe I just haven't had them right.
Nothing against lima beans. If there's anybody out there who likes lima beans, good on you, but they're kind of like a ridiculous bean.
It's hairy.
I'm a baked beans kind of guy.
I like baked beans or black beans.
Black beans are fine. I like them in context with the things that go with.
If I want something sugary, I'll have baked beans. But if I want something like with rice, I'll probably have black beans.
Rice is good. All right. We always end up talking about food for some reason. Even though
well, it's not Star Trek.
Am I correct in understanding that Alf would prefer to eat a cat, but in lieu of a cat, he would eat a can of cat food. And that,
no, just the can, I think.
I think it was a can of cat food. Like, and he ate the whole can.
An alien being has come to live with us and eat our cans and snack on our cat.
See, he said eat our can. She said eat our cans.
Yeah, well, because, yeah, there was a line with him talking about eating a can of cat food.
I thought he was just eating
but
a
I
can.
Thought it was referring to the cat food, but it did sound when she, you're right, when she says that. There's another mystery in this show.
Well, there's, sorry, my volume is, I'm doing a quick text search.
Chime. And it appears that you're coming up empty because you're getting that little goofy chime.
No, I was on the wrong thing. But yeah, I was coming up
he
empty
because
I was
on the wrong button. Thing.
Can I look? Can I talk? No.
And eating her can, she wasn't talking about, you
it
know.
Wasn't, she wasn't, yeah, you're she talking wasn't about speaking in a vulgar.
That fashion. Wasn't a slang term.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I should hope not.
She doesn't speak like that. She's a...
She's such a nice lady.
She's a well poet.
She's Kate Tanner. Yes. Nice lady.
Great
hair.
There was a line in here. Can we? Okay. How about a cat? Okay. He goes. No cat eating. Not in this house. All right. He goes. How about a cat food can?
Yeah.
I could use the roughage.
Okay.
Right,
and it's interesting. Right. They didn't say can of cat food because that would be proper, except if you think of can of cat food, you actually think of the contents of the cat food.
No, I would interpret what you said as the can.
Yeah, he was eating, so it's either eat cats and not cat food, but cans. So they eat cats and metal.
So eat cat.
But beyond this episode, he's just eating whatever they got.
They eat cat steak with a side of metal salad. So
I don't know. I'm still a little perplexed by it because I think it's just I won't say bad writing. I'd say maybe
misdirected,
sort of lazy, like you know.
Well, he doesn't like cats, so he eats their cans of their food.
It was like, yeah, if he has no access to cat, give him a can. Of what? And then he's drinking beer at one point.
It should be like a squirrel.
No cat eating. Not in this house.
Oh, yeah, he drank the beer. And then did you notice that line where when she took the cans from Alf and Brian, he was like, careful, his is full.
Yeah.
I bet you that they got a note back from the studio sent him a note that said like, hey, you got to make everyone sure everyone knows that that kid didn't drink any beer, you know?
But it's perfectly fine.
No, I'm okay with it.
No, but it's perfectly... No. I'm saying it's perfectly fine as far as the studio is concerned if the father is an abusive, temper-filled... Or he has a temper tantrum.
And
What was that, Jesse?
Let's his kid hang out with an alien.
Yeah. Well, I mean... that's, again, getting to the whole, like, the confusing plot. And it all makes sense, of course, in sitcom world. But it's like, okay... an alien spaceship crashes into their house, presumably because Willie was broadcasting on the channel that
ham radio
that ALF that Gordon heard, Gordon Shumway, locked in, decided to crash into these people's house. They help him out, and they're fine with that. Except that Willie's the one who's most intrigued by having an alien in his house at first. He also is the one who most rapidly gets aggravated by the alien.
Yeah. And then there's the moment where they can, like, turn him in, but they decide not to.
What was up
with that ridiculous, like, military guy? Like,
yes.
There was, like, just one of them, and, like... He couldn't see, like, the spaceship, like, crashed into the roof.
He couldn't look through the fucking many windows, including in the door, to see the alien right behind there.
Right.
You didn't let me finish.
Around.
Yeah.
And he all, like, just tells, like, you know, he says it's the Akmonics. And, like,
yeah, we'll get to the Akmonics in the next break.
That information is strictly Akmonic.
Yeah.
That's a terrible military,
it's
man.
Terrible.
When she sent him away,
I think he's only Air Force. I think that's the deal.
When she sent him away, he was almost like, yeah, I just had to come out here just because I'm supposed to. Because he didn't seem that concerned. Like, she was like, there's no aliens here. He's like, whatever. I don't give a shit.
He was
She was being super suspicious.
Yeah. But I mean, it's like, how often do you expect to be called to someone's house for an alien and have it be true? Just about never, I'd say. Well, you were saying, so Willie, Willie was all like, he was all into this, you know, he was like looking at his science radio and he's being all sciencey and stuff like that. And he's all like into, you know, Alf, except it's aggravating. But then Kate's like basically like, oh, not on the couch. And she like,
yeah, that gives a laugh track.
And she's like, this is real. This is on our coffee table. You know, she's like worried about the couch, the coffee table, basically Alf like mussing up the house in general. Yeah.
Drinking all their beer.
Drinking all their beer. So she's all worried about the house. And then Willie's all like the one like thinking about the scientific ramifications. So that was like very kind of 80s.
That's pretty,
80s kind
of thing. Pretty terrible.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a break. It's about that time. All so we're going to take a break. And when we get back...
You didn't let me finish.
Just in time.
When we get back, we will have a bit of a fun-em-up where we will see where these various actors are today.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
It's going to
be... Are you sure this is fun?
Terrible.
I mean, I don't know. We'll see. We will be right back.
I got to get something to drink, and then we could eat their cat.
We're back.
Hey,
how's it going? It's 1986.
All right.
The Soviet Union is in free fall collapse, but we don't know it. We don't know it yet.
Absolutely.
Ronald Reagan is his mind is melting, and he is still in charge for some reason.
We don't know it yet either.
I guess you'll just have to love me for as long as it lasts.
And it will last a long time. All righty. So I did a little bit of research on all of these actors.
Well, people are probably most aware of the Willies.
Situation. We're going to do this in order. And granted, this is subjective because I put this together, but I put this in my order of least crazy to most crazy. And we're going to see where Max Wright falls on that. And we're just going to go through the nine, and you'll have to, I'm not going to tell you who they are. We'll go through the nine main characters in this episode.
Ball's in your court.
The first question I'll ask you is, out of the nine, how many do you think are still alive?
Eight.
All right. Dan says eight. Whoa, out of
nine. Wait. First, we got to think of the nine. There's Willie. There's Brian.
Willie.
There's Lynn. There's Kate. There's Fusco. There's the guy. There's the guy who was in the Alf suit.
Doing great so far.
There's the Mr. and Mrs. Akmonic.
That's right.
I'm up to eight. Does Lucky count?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to adjust that. I'm going to say, wait a second.
You got them all.
Yeah, you said originally nine.
I'm not counting the military guy. Who cares?
Okay, but you're saying out of nine. So I'm going to say.
Oh God, he's doing this thing.
Three, four. I'm going to say out of nine, there are four left alive.
All right, good. And since you were spending so much time thinking about it, I think Jesse's just been looking up people.
Yeah, Jesse, you don't get to answer, Jesse. You've been looking at your phone.
I'm not looking up. I'm just looking at the names of the people.
All right, so you said four out of nine.
I'm looking at the names of the characters.
Jesse, do you have a guess how many are alive? Dan says four.
Oh, wait a second. Actually,
wait.
Actually, I take that back. I take that back.
All right, Dan is taking it back. We're going to temporarily delay.
I say like maybe two.
Wait.
Or three. I'm sorry, three.
Jesse says two. Now he says three.
I'm saying three.
Dan is counting and making grunting noises.
Yeah, four. I go four.
All right.
Four. What'd you say, Jesse?
Jesse says three.
I said three.
Dan says four.
Because the Fusco guy is still alive and probably the two women.
We'll figure it out along the way. So first up, the person who I thought had the sort of least controversy, least craziness in their life was John LaMotta, who played Trevor Akmonik. He was born January 8th, 1939, died January 29th, 2014 at the age of 75. By all accounts, had a nice life. Died, you know, old man. He kind of looked like an old man here, even though he lived long, long past that. So there.
Yeah.
Next up, Liz Sheridan.
Oh, right, yeah.
Who played Raquel Akmonik.
Akmonik. Sounds like a typo.
She was born April 10th.
Also on Seinfeld.
Yes, April 10th, 1929. So she was 10 years older than Trevor Achmanek. She died April 15th, 2022, at the age of 93.
Is there such a thing as a cross between a kangaroo and an aardvark?
She had a storied career, a massive career in Hollywood, across television, all sorts of other stuff. And as you said, Jesse, she's perhaps most famous as playing Seinfeld's mom. She was also really close friends with Elizabeth Montgomery, and they were so close that people called them Dizzy and Lizzie. I couldn't figure out who was Dizzy and who was Lizzie.
Makes it funny.
Well, Montgomery. Well,
isn't Liz Sheridan Lizzie?
But yeah, but Elizabeth.
Oh, shit.
They're both Elizabeth. Right? And so I don't know. But like Elizabeth Montgomery is fantastic. And for those who haven't seen Bewitched, it's available all sorts of places. Check it out. It's really good, especially the early one.
And the theme song goes like dit 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 dit. Not to be mistaken with I Dream of Jeannie, which is
the knockoff of Bewitched.
Which is the one that's like
dit 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 dit
dit dit dit dit dit dit dit dit dit dit. They're using the same notes. They're just putting them in a different order.
Isn't that all of music?
It's fucked up. It not only rips off the show.
You figured out the secret.
I mean, I liked I Dream of Jeannie as well, but it was not. When you go back, when you look with adult eyes, Bewitched is a better show.
Yeah, Bewitched is a better
show. And Elizabeth Montgomery is just breathtaking. She's amazing. She's just her capacity for possessing that character.
Do you remember? Fantastic. Do you remember what theme this is from?
Yeah, of course.
Oh wait, didn't I just sing that?
I think you did. Okay.
Oh, are you just making fun of me?
Making fun of you.
No, this one. What's this song? What's this song? No, this song. I think I just sang that one from before.
Hey, Jesse, I think Dan's got a whole new feature. we should be saving this for our Patreon.
Dan's do-do-do-do-do.
What's this from?
My Three Sons.
Yeah, you got it. Wow.
I got it three notes.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Nick at Night.
Seriously, let's do this on Patreon. Let's do a full version of that, because that's kind of awesome.
Did you say Naked Night, Jesse?
Nick at Night.
I want to watch Naked
Nickelodeon
Night.
Nickelodeon at
Night. I
want
to watch Naked Night where everyone's naked.
Okay. All right. That's silly, dude.
Anyway, back at the Alf. Back at the old Alf. So John LaMotta, Liz Sheridan.
It's an Alf.
Next up is Andrea Elson, who played Lynn Tanner. And she was born March 6th, 1969, and survived till...
Still alive!
She's still alive!
Yep. Daddy, what the...
What's going on?
She married Alf stage manager Scott Hopper.
Weird.
I can't believe it.
And now she owns a yoga studio.
Weirder.
Oh, Alf.
Yeah.
What are we going to do with you?
What are we going to do with you? I think she's...
What do you think it is?
55 years old. All right, next up.
Did you fix the spaceship?
Anne Shadeen.
I think that might have been Kate, actually.
You were playing some Kate. Yeah, Anne Shadeen, Kate Tanner. She was born January 8th, 1949.
Oh my gosh.
And survived until the ripe old age of...
Still alive.
Still alive! Yeah!
It's Harry.
Well,
Kate Tanner is still alive. She is 75.
I don't think so.
Number five.
75.
Number
still
five.
Alive.
Was it number five is alive? Is that how it goes?
Something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, she had a great career too. And by all accounts also, a nice happy life. Good for her.
We've got to get rid of it.
All right. So far, largely uneventful. Next up is Paul Fusco, the man himself, the voice and puppeteer of Alf. He was born January 29th, 1953. Mm. And he is still alive. Everyone knows he's still alive.
Yeah. Thanks.
He's 74 years old.
Mom.
Now, he had various success before Alf, but after Alf hit, he went full on Alf style. So that was his life and continues to be his life. And Alf he's still style. Angling, I think, to get like an Alf movie made, like a CGI Alf movie.
Wasn't there briefly an Alf talk show? Like that was like a late night.
Yeah. And I think it was pretty popular. I mean, not popular enough to actually stay on. But the thing about Alf is weird is like, so Alf.
Alf.
Alf ran for four seasons, and it was gangbusters, like those whole four seasons, and it was canceled, famously canceled, after having a season four cliffhanger where Alf gets captured by the military, and there was just no ending for like 6 years. They finally let him make a TV movie to explain what happened to Alf, but everyone was shocked. Everyone on the production, a lot of people at the network, the public, because they were like, "What? This show is getting good ratings." I heard conflicting reasoning as to why it was canceled, but basically, you know, it was money, new move, you know, TV studios, new people coming in, putting their stamp on stuff, whatever. I don't know. But it was a bit of a surprise. It wasn't one of those shows like Arrested Development where everyone knows it's going to get canceled eventually just because nobody's watching it, even if it's good.
Spend the rest of my life fending off gamma rays.
Alf was...
I'll never see the purple side of my planet again!
Alf was a real, what do you call it, a fad? But like the good version of
He was really in the zeitgeist.
Yes.
Zeitgeist.
He was in the zeitgeist. German for time ghost.
Totally. Or
hello. Spirits. Read my lips.
Spirit of the times. But literally time ghost.
So they weren't. Okay. So I remember that like last episode of season four is horribly depressing.
Yes.
And it was unfinished. Now I assume like he was supposed to get saved in the next season, and they were just going to keep going from several more seasons after that.
Presumably. Yeah.
Several more seasons.
So they really picked the worst possible time they could have canceled the show.
Famously. Like, maybe another time we'll do the last
episode. Aside from if that was part one of a two-parter series finale, and they just didn't air part two, like that's probably the worst way they did it.
And it was because they left him in such a precarious situation. It's the reverse of what happens here, basically, mm-hmm. in a sense. But... So that's Paul Fusco. He's still kicking. He's still promoting Alf, still trying to do Alf stuff. He's 74 years old.
How about fixing my spaceship?
Good for him. All right. Now we're working our way down the list. Benji Gregory. Benji Gregory, Brian Tanner. Born.
What if he wants to take Alf away?
Born May 26th, 1978. Died June 13th. June 13th. 2000.
No, Alf, no.
24. This was upsetting. We referenced this, I think, recently within the last couple of
years. That's the year I was born.
No, that sucks.
Yeah, he was found dead in his car in Arizona with his dog. Yeah. That's an added tragedy. Man.
It was hot.
It seems that he died of heat stroke. Arizona.
Wait, when was this?
This was June 13th, 2024, just last month.
Oh, man. Jesus, just last month.
Yeah. And it was only...
I'm actually kind of shocked.
It was reported later.
They didn't report it to the media until like a month, like until a couple weeks ago or last week, something like that. I forget exactly.
Other people more famous were dying, too.
Yeah.
Well, oh, man.
But...
that's a bummer.
It was heat stroke. It's been really hot in Arizona, but he also, according to his sister, he was suffering from bipolar disorder, and he had a number of sleep disorders, and so they just think he just passed out in his car.
Yeah, that'll get you.
Which is pretty tragic.
I thought he was pretty good in the show. Like, yeah. As far as kids go, he was good. It was, although I'm not sure about the hat. I was just gonna say that. I was just gonna say, not sure about that hat, that fucking hat, the Newsies hat made him wear.
A hat like that back
It's then. Like a Newsies / Kangol hat. I mean, it's like, it's a weird...
That's one of a those... hat that gets your ass beat up, I think.
Yeah. Although I like it, the opening credits, like when Alf's like going around on the camera. The opening credits, by the way, obviously takes place after the events of the first episode.
Well,
because, like, you know, they're showing footage that we haven't seen yet. Much, you know,
he does that thing where he breathes on the lens, and wipes it off.
Yeah,
it's like, and did you do that?
And he puts down the camera to chase the cat.
Yeah, and he looks in the camera and he sees himself. He's like, oh,
Willie.
But then when he goes to Lynn, she's all like, Alf, I'm on the phone.
Classic hijinks.
And then when
she's in her closet, right?
Yeah, she's in her closet.
So do you think she's talking to
she's Lash, talking to Lash. Her boyfriend, Lash.
Is that her boyfriend?
Yeah.
Chad.
Does she mention that in this episode? Or do you find that out?
I think they did. I think they mentioned it in the episode.
Her boyfriend's name is Lash?
Maybe.
Are you sure it's a boyfriend? It's not a girlfriend?
No, it's a boyfriend.
Is that why she's in the closet? Because she has to.
No,
because her father is abusive, homophobic.
Why would you think it's her girlfriend?
I'm trying to interpret, like, why is she sitting in the closet talking on the phone? Is she trying to hide from her parents?
Probably trying to hide her relationship because her dad's probably like, oh, Lynn, you can't have sex with boys. That was not a good Willie impression.
Is that Bill Cosby?
I don't know what that was. I'm a little bit ashamed of that. I would like to move on from
The thing is Max Wright is a unique force of nature, so it's hard to impersonate.
Right, him. That's a good point. What I was gonna say is, I think I really always like the part in the opening when Alf goes up to Brian, and you can tell he's like, "Hi, Alf," and he like smothers the screen with his like whole body. Yeah. He's like,
"We like that part."
It's just funny because he just totally like he smothers Alf, and he's like, and it just kind of like off into this darkness of nothing.
Alf probably smells bad.
He probably does. Although, didn't you think it was? Although it was weird though, like the scene
It's like Southern California too.
I mean, are you implying it's hot? Okay, yeah. It's hot.
So there was the scene where.
So you think Alf is sweaty and gross?
Yeah, dude.
So there was this
for his old man.
There was the scene where Alf was like talking to Brian, and like he's sitting next to him on the ground, and for some reason inexplicably he has his like arms wrapped around Brian. They're watching the TV. That was before I think they went to get some beer or something. But he's just sitting there next to Brian, and he's got his arm wrapped around him. And I'm wondering if that was some kind of way to prop him up, the puppet up or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Or you know, I think we'll save it for a little bit, but later in this episode we'll discuss. What this episode reveals about family living in the 1980s. And that might be part of it.
You think people just sat next to each other with their arms wrapped around each other while they watched TV?
I think it's probably more the propping up thing, but there's some weird stuff that happens in this episode.
Yeah, but I was just saying, Alf is kind of a newcomer to the house. It's like, it seems like he's taking some liberties by like putting his hands all over Brian.
And he's
like
an alien.
And he's an alien.
He could have horrific alien diseases.
He could. Remember when
he's not particularly responsible to harbor an alien.
Remember when he picked nothing off of his shoulder and he was like, "That was my driveway," or whatever. Yeah. What did he say? "That was my something." I don't know.
I think he did. I think it was.
That was my street.
That was my street.
Yeah.
Which is that doesn't 100% track.
Yeah.
Or scan or whatever phrase you'd like to use.
It was absurdist comic.
Remember the store Scan?
Yes,
that sold
of course.
Furniture and everyone thought it was called Scan. They thought it was short for Scandinavia, yeah, but it had nothing to do with Scandinavia.
It was short for Scan.
It was a local furniture store named Scan. All right. Okay, next up.
Remember that?
Next up, Max Wright, Willie Tanner. Max Wright was born August 2nd, 1943, and he died June 26th, 2019.
Now, it was all the yelling that killed him.
Max, yeah, really. Max Wright had a bit of
everything's fine.
A bit of an unfortunate
everything's
life.
Under control.
There was some trauma and some tragedy in his life.
He didn't like this show.
Well, no, he did not like doing this show.
Get upstaged by a puppet.
This is one of those examples where, you know, you see other shows.
Well, I shouldn't say puppet. That's not fair because they actually did have an actor play.
Yeah, Paul Fusco was.
Well, Paul Fusco, but I'm saying they actually had someone. I think he was listed
Just for the walking around roles. Yeah. But the thing is that you often have that gag in movies or TV shows where in Galaxy Quest, for example, the idea of the highly qualified dramatic actor who gets stuck and typecast because they're on a popular show that they hate being a part of, but they can't quit because they have to send their children to college and stuff like that, right?
It's the fulfillment of a lifelong dream.
He's the epitome of that. He could not stand this show, although later in his life, he said he grew to appreciate it more. He appreciated what people got out of it and all that other stuff. But at the time,
I don't know.
I think this was torture.
He did his last scene and then he just like left. He just like walked out. He got all his stuff.
Oh my gosh.
Did not talk to anybody. And I think it was even one of those things where, and I've heard this from other actors before too, and I believe it's the case with him too, where he did the pilot, and a lot of times actors agree to do a pilot and you have to sign an agreement that says you're going to do the show if it gets picked up. But he was like, this show's not going to be fucking picked up. He was just like, I'll just get my paycheck and I'll just go. And then when it got picked up, it was like this curse because he's all of a sudden starts getting a lot of money from the show and notoriety, but he's not being taken seriously in his opinion as an actor, even though what he does here is great. He's a great actor.
He's like, really good. Yeah.
He and Paul Fusco, right? They're the ones who make this episode. Right?
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle. Although he has some peculiar choices. One of those choices is, have you ever seen anybody shave as fast as this motherfucker?
Oh, what, in that scene?
In the scene, he's just fucking taking a razor and just clawing at his face. And
it looks dangerous.
And I know that it's like, it's not a real razor, it's a prop razor, and they're just putting some cream on, but it looks ludicrous.
Yeah.
It's upsetting how quickly, and he's like, he's going to cut himself.
And the bathroom is like far away from the bedroom.
The whole house is set up weird. Yeah. And you know he's getting naked in front of this alien.
So yeah, he was casually. Well, people of that age get naked all the time. I noticed. Everyone thinks they're at the YMCA like all the time, and they're just like, walking around naked.
This is a good segue. What Max Wright is most famous for? Is being naked.
Well, yes, that's true. Well, I wanted to say naked. You were talking about that bathroom scene.
Yes. Before we talk about him being naked.
We don't talk about the bathroom scene. You were saying I didn't notice that part, but I'll rewatch to so I can notice it.
Go and check bond out. With you.
But that was kind of a strange scene. Because Alf was like Willie was like, "Oh, you don't need to shave. You look fine." Yeah. And then he's like, Alf's like, "I want to do everything you do." And then he's like, "You're my idol," which was like a really weird, sort of bizarre line.
He's trying to get in there and just develop this relationship and then as swiftly as possible.
And then Willie's like, "I'm going to go take a shower." And Alf's like, "Count me in." It's like a really bizarre scene
Willie
altogether.
Like, I'm going to take a shit. Alf, I got to take a shit. Can you give me a toilet paper? And then in that
count
case.
Count me in.
See, that's the gag. See, if they were doing this show today, they would have done the gag with Willie in the shower and then Alf giving him the toilet paper to dry off. Right. But then they would have buttressed it with another gag either before or later where Willie's like, "Alf, I'm taking a shit. Can you get me something to wipe my ass with?" And then like Alf would have given him a towel. And then that would have been a funny gag.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, a towel for his butt.
Like, wipe your ass with the towel.
Right,
but dry yourself from the shower with the toilet paper.
Don't get them mixed up.
Yeah. With just a little help we're offering. I mean, granted, it's quite a bit after the fact. Yeah, but this is just some helpful advice to the Alf writers.
You're my idol.
So
it's called a callback. Mm-hmm. It's called a callback.
Yeah. Called a callback.
Yeah.
So wait, have we decided who won that? Before we move on to Naked Willie,
we're not done.
Okay,
we ain't done yet.
There's two more people, but Naked Willie, just briefly. Max Wright was even further issue for Max Wright.
He's quick. I'll give him that.
Was when in the National Enquirer they got pictures of him sitting on a couch with some naked dudes, and he was naked, and they were all smoking crack out of crack pipes.
Crack
cocaine.
Chief O'Brien.
The thing that sucks is
sabotage.
Who gives a fuck with some
sabotage?
You know, it sucks that he was in a bad way, and it didn't look like the fun kind of smoking crack.
It's just a crazy idea.
It looked like the not so fun kind of smoking crack. So
where would I stay?
It's probably he probably wasn't a good place at the time. But it's also
okay. Let's do it.
It sucks for him that his business got plastered all over the place.
Yeah.
Right.
But
I mean, everyone's allowed to have a moment, you know?
Exactly, and you know, but
then that moment's all he gets remembered for,
and especially because it's because he was Alf's dad. If he wasn't Alf's dad, if he was somebody else, then it would be like, who cares that he's like hanging out, you know?
Absolutely,
absolutely, indeed. All right, so there are two more people on the list. Who do you think's next?
Well, the guy who plays Inside Alf.
His name is Michu Mazzara.
Whoa, do you know it sounds weird? Inside Alf? It sounds like I'm saying Inside Out. Inside Alf.
I know.
That's
it
a joke.
Sounds like a name of a show.
That's a joke.
Inside Alf.
I'm going to write a joke that involves Inside Alf instead of Inside Out.
I think you already did.
Why don't you workshop that while I read you this background?
So, please.
So, Michu Mazzara, when I first came up with this whole thing of where are they now, it was all, of course, as you can guess, centered around the Max Wright business, because I thought, how can I find an elegant way to mention Max Wright sitting on the couch smoking crack?
Totally.
It exploded
while not seeming like a complete dickhead about it. Mm-hmm. Because as I just said, it sucks that everyone had to see this, but we're bringing
it's an exercise in futility,
but we're bringing it up here, right?
Futility.
I thought that Max Wright's situation had to have been the craziest of all of these people.
Oh, no.
Until I started reading background.
What?
Because, guy, all right, know. So Michu Mizaros, who is the person who wore the elf suit in those occasions when they needed to have him creepily run around.
One of those small type.
And it's one of those, you know, Uncanny Valley things where when you see Elf as a puppet, it's like totally, it's like, oh yeah, that's Elf. He's a puppet. When you see him running around, it's like,
it's confusing. It's like,
you're going to get a gross reaction.
It's so crazy. Patrick dropped his empty soda bottle.
I know, it's wild. So Michu Mizaros was born.
Who are you, alien?
He was born October 1st, 1939, and he died June 12th, 2016. Okay, so first, 2016. Remember that day.
So he's almost 80, so that's not bad.
He was 76 years old, lived a long life.
Do you think he had that many trombones?
Oh.
What? 76 trombones.
I don't think he was tall enough to play trombones.
76 trombones in the big parade.
You'd have to get one of them little
trombones. That's from The Music Man.
Yeah.
That's from the musical The Music Man.
Yeah,
which is a good music. I like the song. You
know, absolutely,
you've got trouble. You know,
oh, right.
There's a capital P, and that stands for pool. But
you got a cat.
I didn't investigate that. What I did investigate was I was like, okay, is there anything interesting about this fellow? Wikipedia didn't have much. I think he lived a nice, good, long life. Had a career. What got weird?
Everything's fine.
What got weird was
everything's under control.
Was after he died. Right? Because after he died, the details are a little bit murky,
right.
But he had a memorial service in 2018, which was a full 2 years, it was October 2018, more than 2 years after he died, was where he finally had a memorial service.
And he was like on display.
Yes. Oh, the memorial service was held at the Dearly Departed Tours and Artifact Museum, which apparently is like a museum, which is like a bunch of dead people and dead, for lack of a better term, like carny people, that sort of thing.
Right.
And yeah, his remains were put on display.
No, Alice, no.
And they were on display for 3 years until the museum closed in 2021, I think sort of COVID related.
Oh no, who could that be?
So the museum closed in 2021 and he was buried. He was finally buried in 2023 in September after a crowdfunding campaign raised funds to actually get him interned in, as it turns out, Valhalla Memorial Park. April 20th.
At least it ended well.
Let me clarify. Characters. In September 23 is when the campaign started raising a bunch of money. He actually wasn't buried until April 2024 this year.
Jeez.
2024. Yeah, April 2024. That's this year. For those who are listening in the future, when we're recording, it's 2024.
In the future.
But it's after April. So that was the past, even if you're in the future.
So that's the wildest story.
So for my, it's the second wildest story.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because that's a pretty, I don't know. It sounds kind of fucked up to me, but who knows? Maybe his family got some money out of the bargain or whatever, but regardless, now he's...
You're calling me a liar?
He's good to go. No, I thought for my money, the craziest story was Lucky the Cat. Who I had to look this up. There was actually an episode where Lucky dies and then he's replaced by Lucky 2.
Right. Yo, Lucky my man.
And it's like a lesson in Brian has to learn like how it's sad to have an animal die, I guess.
How you doing, Lucky?
It's one of those sitcom lessons. But it was tricky to find out, but it turns out the real cat Lucky.
Tricky to find out.
The real cat Lucky died somewhat ironically, being eaten by Paul Fusco after a coke fueled night of dares with Liz Sheridan.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, so Paul Fusco and Liz Sheridan were just snorting coke all night, and they started daring each other to do stuff. And somewhere along the lines, Liz Sheridan dared Paul Fusco to eat the cat. And so Paul Fusco ate the cat.
Happened.
But it wasn't Alf. It's just like Alf likes to eat cats, and then like Paul Fusco,
it was just Paul Fusco,
eats the cat.
You're making this up.
No, it's not. It's 100% true, Dan. Liz Sheridan and Paul Fusco were just doing rails of cocaine. Like 1980s. And then Paul Fusco ate a cat like corn, like it was corn. he tore into a cat and just like it was like a corn, okay. Corn on the cob.
Of course you were joking.
He just started eating the flesh of a cat.
So only three people are alive.
Three people.
I win.
I would have got. I got everyone right except the Brian one.
Yeah,
That was.
Oh, you didn't know. That's right, because you didn't know about that.
But we mentioned it the other night. But
oh, really?
You might not have clocked it.
Because
I think we mentioned. Because
I got every single person. Like who died? Yeah. So that's a shame.
Yeah.
I should have gotten that.
Yeah. Well, good job, fellas. Good job.
You know what's? You know, Joe San, who is in Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery. He was also in one of the very first, maybe even the first UFC. He's practiced the martial art called Joe Sando. And he would walk into the ring.
I don't know who you're referring. Are you talking referring to the hat guy? Who you referring?
Yeah, the hat guy in Austin Powers.
The hat guy.
Yeah.
Didn't that guy turn out to be horrible person?
So like in his UFC fights, he would walk into the ring carrying this giant wooden cross on his back, like he was Jesus or something. He did Joe Sando, and then later he was in Austin Powers, and he turned out to be involved in some seriously.
Didn't he murder somebody or something?
I think it was like rape and murder. It was
rape and murder.
It was like terrible. Oh, no. It was fucking awful.
I mean, that's pretty bad.
Remember Rex Kwando?
Yeah, Rex Kwando.
All right.
I do remember Rex Kwando.
I remember that it's about time that we take a break.
Let's.
I'm going to open my can of Coke while we're taking a break.
During the break, Jesse will open his can of Coke. And he's tapping on it in the meantime.
He can't.
Just to let you know that it's actually there. You're not going to hear the opening. We're going to make it.
Hello, who could that be?
Just to make it very clear, you will not hear the opening of the can. That's going to happen offline. But when we come back, Jesse will have opened that can. You might hear some bubblies, some fizzy bubblies.
You might hear some yummy sounds.
Yeah. All right.
Snarly barleys.
We will be right back.
Slurps. It's all about the ceremony.
All right, we have returned. We have returned from the break. So, Dan. See, that was a good. There's some good parts of the show.
Yeah,
it's worth right. watching. Everyone should not. If you watch this, you will have enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's good. You will have future will, perfect and everything.
Yeah, you will have enjoyed it because this is a good. Like, it's a good show. It's just a very uneven, a very weird show, but is punctuated by like super awesome stuff. But Dan, you and Jesse got to figure out, like, we got to come up with some cool, fun bumpers. Listening to this show reminded me, like, how awesome it would be. Not reminded me. It brought to mind the idea of how awesome it would be to have some, like, clever bumpers.
Like bumper stickers?
No. Audio bumpers for when we come, when we go to break and come back from break. Because right now we got the transporter sound. You're like half a transporter sound, which is fine. It does the trick. But man, wouldn't it be cool if we had some jingly ass piano, like do, do, do. I don't know. What you were just playing. It's great. Right. It's like that. We don't have this anymore. Most things I like about modern TV better than this old style, but I do find the charm in the jingly jingly
and even bits. Old Star Trek.
Yeah.
That was an outro, but the same style.
110%. Let's go for it.
Yeah.
They used to say that in the 80s all the time.
Yep.
We're dangerous.
We are indeed. All right, let's get back to our discussion of this crazy ass show.
Kay was like, Brian can't drink beer, and you can't drink beer either, Alf. And it's like, why can't he drink beer?
I know, right?
And he ended up drinking the beer anyway. Yeah. Like, he was like, and she was like,
Do you...
Alf does stuff.
Do you recall...
How did Alf know that military man was from the army?
Yeah, well, again, there's a little inconsistency here in the...
It's not realistic.
What Alf knows or doesn't know. But
Milana's on it.
I have a sensitive question to ask.
Oh, no.
I'm trying to ask it.
Got to be serious now.
But no, it's not a serious question. But
well, you said it's sensitive.
Yeah, but that's not serious.
Or is it sensitive like you ask me how my feelings are?
I mean, partly. And it has to do with arousal, and people can be...
Is this an intervention?
No. It's not an intervention. In some ways, it's the opposite. I'm encouraging things. I wanted to ask you all about, you've got the various characters here. I distinctly remember, as a child, thinking that Kate Tanner was had it going on. Did you have a similar feeling?
I had that feeling, except for it was Jack Tripper's girlfriend in his spinoff series, Three's a Crowd.
It's very interesting. That's a that's very interesting. I've known you a long time. That yeah. might explain.
I think her name was Vicky.
Yes, it was Vicky.
Yeah.
It might explain a lot.
A lot.
Nothing against Vicky, but that's kind of, I'm just saying.
I don't even remember what she looks like. I just remember as a kid thinking she was attractive.
Yeah. Well, but there's also personality in there, right? It's like
personality goes a long way.
I don't know. There's something about Kate Tanner, something about her Fraggle Rock hair.
Oh yeah, Vicky. Yeah, Vicky Bradford. She kind of had this buttoned up look to her that, like,
yeah.
That sort of made her look like she like secretly, you know, she was a wild person.
Oh,
who's Vicky Bradford?
In Three's a Crowd.
Oh, okay, right. Sorry.
She's very. She can dress very conservatively and seems very, you know, and which is the foil for Jack Tripper, who's a swinging dick. You know,
I was always into Mr. Furley.
I like when Mr. Roper made those confused faces.
Yeah, those are good. All right, no, yes, yeah, so.
Alf's
Kate
mom.
Tanner.
Alf's mom. No, not Alf's mom.
Yeah, Alf's mom.
Alf's mom.
Well, and Brian's mom. Alf does call her mom in this case.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. Jesse's refusing to answer.
Yeah.
I didn't really think that.
Mom.
Jesse was older than us, so, you know.
He was. Back then, he was older than us.
Yeah, back then, he was really a lot older than us. He was like, if we had met Jesse when we were like six, he would be like cracking us in the skull.
Oh, no.
Punch down on our skulls.
I was in the
Jesse would take Dan and I and he'd grab us by the heads and he'd crack our heads together and he'd be.
I don't think I like these elves.
He'd be like, you guys are a bunch of knuckleheads, and he'd crack our skulls together. All right, so maybe it's just me who's into Kate Tanner.
Well, every time I try to say something, this guy plays some shit. So, like,
right into feedback at hisscottstartrek.com.
Please.
Feedback at hisscottstartrek.com. Subject line, Kate Tanner has got it going on, or some alternative.
Absolutely.
Okay, Jesse, I won't interrupt you. What'd you say?
I just, I don't know. I guess I basically said it. I wasn't thinking about the mom like that. I wasn't. I don't know if I was really that, like, you know.
Cognizant.
Dan, look at this guy taking the high road.
Yeah.
No, I'm not taking the high road. I'm just like,
I like this mom lady. And Dan's all like, I like this buttoned up, uptight gal.
Yeah.
Jesse's like, I'm keeping it to myself. Okay. We only got so much time here, so we gotta get through this.
Hey, here, check out these two laugh tracks. You can hear this dude. You ever like listen to a laugh track and hear one
yeah,
dude?
Yeah, the one
like,
laughing dude.
So you can kind of hear it in these two. You can kind of hear some guy in the background going, you can hear it better in other shows, usually like Married with Children or something. But
if you want to hear it right now, go subscribe to Comedy Bang Bang World, CBB World, and listen to their live tours, because there's a guy who goes around to every live tour show and he has like a weird loud laugh and it drives everybody online nuts.
I know.
And it's like, especially because it's in stereo. Sometimes he's sitting in like the far corner and so you just hear it like off on the left side of your ear.
As a producer, what are you supposed to say? It's like, excuse me, sir, stop laughing.
Stop enjoying the show.
Stop doing what we're trying to get you to do.
Oh my gosh. Alf's hair movement is really good. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things, and
it's kind of like Conan O'Brien's hair.
Yes, but the puppet is great. The puppeteering, the acting by Paul Fusco, it all comes together well. But then every now and then they add a little bit of flair, and one thing they do is they accentuate the direction and movement of Alf's tuft of hair, his Conan O'Brien little thing, and where it's most acute in this episode, and I think most well performed, is when Alf is in bed with Kate. And making me jealous, just making me all so jealous. And then Kate's all freaking out, and then he freaks out, and then his hair like does this. They had a wire or something grab his hair. Whatever it was, however they did it was amazing, because it like his hair goes back all flat, like kind of like a cat's ears going down. Except it's a Melmackian's hair.
Melmackian. Melmac.
That was the name of my planet. It's also what it was made out of.
His planet was made out of Melmac. To a couple other points in the episode, I noticed something similar. He did the Muppet thing where, like, he saw the cat go by. He's like, I don't want that cat. And then he squished his nose in. That's a Kermit the Frog move.
A famous and specifically Muppets, not any kind of other puppets. Yeah, that's Muppets. Yeah, Muppets.
No knockoff Muppets, Morpets or anything.
Real
like
things. But then he makes fun of Muppets, and it's funny to have a Muppet make fun of a Muppet because he's got Muppety styles. He's got, like, he's not a Muppet. Not officially a Muppet, but he's Muppetish.
Not a mop.
And then he's
not a puppet.
He's making fun of Sesame Street, not the Muppets technically, but it's still Jim Henson. So, you know, it's all the same kind of thing.
There was another part where Willie's like, I'm not sure I can fix your spaceship. I mean, not tonight, not in the dark. And of course, he's like going, not in the dark, you know, all like that. And then Alf is like, yeah, you could use a light in that driveway. And then Willie does the thing. He's like, you know, I've been meaning to put that one out there. Like all talking on the side.
And then he's like, ha, ha, ha.
And then when he's saying that, Alf is like doing that thing where he's like, yeah, I've been there before. But he's doing the hair thing, where his hair is all whipping around. All
floppity flop.
But he's doing that thing. He's like, yeah, I've been there, you know. So they had a bonding moment.
He's a blue collar alien.
He didn't mind that Willie had gotten all distracted off track. Alf, that's the thing about Alf is he really goes with the flow. That's the thing. And that's why it's funny, right? Because Willie doesn't.
Right.
I think I've cracked the secret of Alf.
Yeah.
And all of
them. Not a moment too soon.
Yeah, I know. I think I'm onto something. I could start some more of these shows up.
Well, we should do more episodes of Alf.
Yeah, let's just make our own Alf episodes. We'll call it Balf.
just to avoid the copyright strikes. Yeah.
Balf.
Got any rat?
Chief O'Brien.
Billy.
Oh, Billy.
All right, let's talk a little bit about how they present life in the 1980s.
And then we could eat their cat.
And you gotta love that high end. High end. People are gonna love this podcast. They're just like, why is there all this? That's not our fault. That's the fucking 1980s.
That's how it sounded.
Dude. You know, it was actually difficult to pull audio from this episode because it was trying to figure out the best spot to stop it during the track that inevitably followed it and often overlapped shit, so you couldn't just cut it off. And if you did, it sounded weird. So it took more time to do this because of trying to figure out how to get that laugh track to not sound totally stupid, and it still sounds stupid in some parts. But
you should do a behind the scenes.
Well, good effort, dude.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah, do it behind the scenes and explain the process. But life in the 1980s, and yes, of course, we will preface this with this is a media depiction, and it is not real. But I would argue our culture is what we live in our culture, right? We are embedded within it, and that includes Alf and Golden Girls and Empty Nest and all that business, and they are both.
It's an Alf.
And these television programs are both reflections of our culture and drivers of our culture.
Okay, first of all, I don't know that many people outside of our age range are really going to remember Empty Nest. Alf I would understand, but Empty Nest was a good show. I like Empty Nest.
I tossed it in there to provide some measure of authenticity.
What about Coach?
More people will know Coach, but I don't really like Coach that much. I watched it.
I watched it.
Well, because before streaming, you watched all sorts of stuff, even if you didn't like it, because you had to watch something. Because otherwise,
what are you going to watch?
You'd be alone with your thoughts, and we didn't have podcasts yet. So you had drive time radio and television.
My basement was spooky as a kid, so I just turned on the TV, and it didn't feel so spooky anymore. And I wasn't even watching the TV; I just had it on, so I didn't feel lonely and scared.
Sometimes it was good just to have the TV kind of going in the background.
Yeah, I agree. Good babysitter
keeps the demons away.
But that's what I'm saying. That all being said, when you get hints about sort of what some of the prevailing thinking was in this culture, the 1980s, you look at their house, you look at their maybe detached garage. It's a little hard to say. It kind of looks like a detached garage. Mm-hmm. Willie flipping his fucking head, but also ineffectually, by the way. We already talked about the wrench scene where he flips out. He gets his wrench, but his daughter's like...
She's not even fazed.
She's
really.
Not even fazed. She's like,
sorry, Dad.
Hey, sorry, I'm used to living with an abusive father. What am I going to do? So that's normal. And there's a lot of stuff throughout this episode that's just kind of like odd, like with the mom saying like, oh yeah, no food before dinner, you know, no sodas.
Right.
And I'm not saying people don't do that nowadays, but I don't know. It was just, I, I was raised in the 80s, and my house wasn't like that.
No, I couldn't have soda.
And we all knew places where everyone had their house rules and stuff.
We weren't allowed to have sugary cereals.
Yeah, I couldn't really do that either. Yeah,
yeah, but then like Willie's got a train set.
Alf was playing with that train set.
And a ham radio set and all these other hobbies, which you could take as an indicator of a failed marriage, that he's having problems in his marriage,
right.
Some sort of frustrations.
Right.
Because,
finding any reason to escape into his room.
Why he's yelling
room.
So much.
Or alternatively, Kate is just fed up with him and is like, get out of my fucking house. I just don't want to look at you. So like, you know, yeah. she bankrolls his stuff because it's not clear exactly what the financial situation is, but their house is pretty big. They've got that thing going that they always had in the 80s sitcoms where when you go to the front door, they have all these strategically placed like bushes and plants so that you can't tell that there's only like, you know, 4 feet in front of the door.
Right.
The camera's super tight on the guy, right. You know, so you can't see around like the fake bush behind him.
Yeah.
For some reason, I keep thinking of Married with Children where you open the door, there was like a wall right there.
It could have been the same set. Right. Yeah. It literally could have been the same set here. It's almost the same set.
Pretty
Married
much.
With Children just like has more wood paneling and slightly smaller because they were blue collar as opposed to whatever this.
I don't know. I remember that house being kind of like that. Those rooms always, all those rooms always looked huge. Like you said, they're playrooms.
But they're all the same set. Bill Cosby had the same set. Mm-hmm. Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
My mind was blown in the Cosby Show when I learned where the dining room was in that show. It's like in the living room, you go back to that door in the living room, or is it the door behind the kitchen? Or which one? Oh, no, the door behind the kitchen leads up the other side
of
the stairs.
I thought it was between the kitchen and the living
room.
So
the living room has stairs upstairs, and then the kitchen I think has stairs that go to the other end of the upstairs
stairs,
and then in the living room off to the back left, that's where their dining room is. That blew my mind as much as when TNG I learned that the conference room was behind the bridge.
As opposed to the ready room, and then there's like bathrooms.
Which the ready room?
The ready room is in the lower right hand corner.
Oh yeah, that's Picard's ready room. Yeah,
yeah. And then there's like the turbo lift to the battle bridge.
Oh yeah, but they never talk about that shit in the show, do they?
Well, they go to the battle bridge, and they go through that door sometime, maybe once.
Wait, I thought this wasn't It's Got Star Trek.
No, this isn't. That was just a slight aside.
Okay,
we do that on It's Got Star Trek too.
Oh, you're right.
We're talking about Star Trek, and then suddenly for some reason we're talking about
Alf.
That's why we're doing this.
Yeah.
It's not Star Trek. But yeah, there's, I don't know, there's a few things like that, you know, like the strictness and like just the family setup, the daughter hiding in the closet. It's like,
I'm on the phone.
We're joking and being comedic about it in some ways, but in other ways,
some would argue we're not being that comedic about it.
There's a bit of a sinisterness to this that I don't think was intended, but it certainly comes across in the family dynamic.
Are you getting some like American Beauty sort of vibes or something?
Yeah, but it's not on purpose. Nobody was making a point. The point is being made because it's inadvertent.
It's got the vibes.
They're infusing the family dynamic with the real family dynamics they were experiencing at the time, I guess.
Just keep your distance, all right?
You know, the brushing of the teeth, the weird shaving.
The brushing of the teeth.
I don't know. Just go back and watch the episode with the idea that this is
like
a horror movie. It's kind of like, I think I've mentioned this before, but a lot of folks know the movie What About Bob? What About Bob is a great movie. A lot of people are like, oh yes, it's a great comedy. It's not a comedy. It's like a horror movie. If you go watch What About Bob, understanding that it's filmed like a horror movie.
They could probably recut it like that. It'd be interesting.
I don't even think you need to recut
it.
Well, change the music around.
I don't think you need to change the music. The music and the producers.
The thing about What About Bob is a fantastic movie, but that music always dates it so much for me because it's like do 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 do.
For me, it's the horror music, right? Because you know the movie with the Nicole Kidman where she plays the reporter.
Is that the one where they have this song that's like, I saw you something on the evening news? It's all like, jumbo, jumbo, doo,
it's got Joaquin Phoenix.
It's easy.
Why can't I fucking remember this movie?
Kick him while they're up, kick him when they're down, kick him while they're up, kick him on brown.
Anyway, I apologize for not remembering the movie.
Is that the one where she's in front of the car with the headlights and she's like dancing, like flinging her skirt around?
Yeah,
like,
it's Joaquin Phoenix, it's Nicole Kidman, it's a very good movie.
Is it from like the
90s? What the hell are you guys talking about?
It's a movie, my brain keeps wanting to say Death Becomes Her, but it's not Death Becomes Her. It's driving me nuts. Dan's going to look it up for us.
To die for.
To die for. Thank you.
I saw you moving on the evening news. But
the reason why I bring it up is to die for is...
it's got Matt Dillon, too.
Yes.
It is, and Casey Affleck.
It is unquestionably... that is set up as a thriller, right? That's an intense thriller movie. Psychological thriller. It's very interesting. Same producer, same music guy, I think. As What About Bob, like, and when you watch What About Bob and To Die For back to back, you see similarities in the structure. It's a different story, but there's a vibe there. Go back, watch What About Bob. It's a horror movie, and it's hilarious.
What About Bob?
But it's a horror movie.
What About Bob?
Alf, I think you could do the same. although I think Alf is more unintentional than What About Bob.
And but you're saying it's not scary because of it's got an alien. It's scary because of like horrible suburban secrets.
Yeah, I think Alf, like, you could see this plot as this alien saves this family from a family destroyer. Like what was about to happen before Alf showed up on the scene was Willie was going to be a late stage family destroyer where he kills his family and moves to another town.
And you think he would have taken out the Achmonics too?
I think he might have on his way out.
That information is strictly Achmonic.
Try to be considerate.
Achmonics. Let's talk about the Achmonics. Liz,
you got a cat?
Oh, another thing before, you were talking about trains.
The trains.
Alf, also, another thing Alf knew somehow, he knew all the lyrics to Proud Mary. He was all singing that song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He knew all the lyrics to it so quickly.
It is puzzling.
It's a great song.
It is.
It's
maybe
just
they have that song on Melmac.
How would they get it out there? Do you think they put it in that thing that the planet Earth sends out to space?
Yeah, maybe.
The thing?
The thing with all the sounds?
Voyager 1 or Voyager 2?
Voyager 3.
Voyager 7. So I'm talking about Voyager 7. Oh, you haven't heard about that one? Oh, yeah, they released it yesterday. I knew about it. You
did. Hey, guys, did you hear the Voyager 7 just dropped?
They released it into space yesterday. I knew about it. You didn't.
Wasn't Voyager 7 the one that came back in the motion picture? Was it Voyager 7? Or no, maybe that was Voyager 6. I think that was Voyager 6. You know, V'ger? You know, that whole V'ger. Star Trek thing? Star Trek the motion picture? Star Trek the motion picture?
Yeah, I heard it.
All right. The Achmonics, great characters, great foils. You have to have that neighbor. They are ripping off the idea from the aforementioned Bewitched, because in Bewitched you had Gladys Kravitz until the actress died, and then like somebody else showed up. But you had to have the nosy neighbor that witnesses the supernatural and or alien presence, and the husband. The bedraggled husband who thinks that his wife is going increasingly crazy because she keeps talking about some nonsense. So that was a major plot line in Bewitched, and it becomes a major plot line in Elf. But you've got Liz Sheridan, who does a great job as Mrs. Achmonic, and her husband. He's good too. What was his name?
John, I don't see nothing.
John LaMotta. Trevor Achmonic.
Achmonic. Sounds like a typo.
And I love the name.
Mm-hmm.
The name is hilarious.
Pretty cool.
Ochmonek.
Yeah.
It's a great name. It's got the K sound. It's got some ohms.
You think it's made up?
I don't know. I didn't look it up. I meant to, but
when,
I didn't.
When Alf saw Mrs. Achmonic through the window, they all did that trick where like she's like, hey, look what I see. And then he goes to look, and then Alf just happens to duck out of scene. He's like, you're crazy. I don't see anything. And, you know, so only she sees it. But then she's like, look. And then they did that trick. That's a gag they do sometimes.
It is, but what I liked
and
about
then
it.
And then what I also liked is after it was all said and done, when he came back, he was almost like mocking her.
Yeah,
he
I was about
like,
to say that.
He was like dancing around like an asshole.
It was an old joke that they fluffed it up a little bit by having him be like, I'm just being hilariously obvious, and he was clearly mocking her, in my opinion.
Yeah,
in my book, I think he was clearly mocking her.
Mocking clearly.
Yeah. Although it's funny because, like, unlike Gladys Kravitz, who was sort of portrayed as being having several neuroses and pre-existing problems, Mrs. Achmonic seems like a pretty strong lady. So it's a bit of a different vibe. She's not some, like, you know, batty old lady.
Right. Well, that was like the 60s. Right?
Yeah, exactly. The Bewitched was an earlier time frame.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm. I like when Dan says. Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone just seemed like more exasperated than freaked out that they had an alien in their house. They never spent any time like being freaked out.
Yeah.
They spent all of like 5 seconds where he's like.
Well, then he started to get annoying. And
he was like.
We We have a visitor.
Everything leading up to that point is when they freaked out, and then everything after that, they were just kind of annoyed. It's like, step back for a minute. You got a fucking alien in your fucking house.
Yeah, but he's just really annoying.
It's true. That's why it's funny, because it's just, he's so annoying that they don't even remember he's an alien. Well, remember when he put on Willie's glasses?
He's just this guy that won't leave.
Remember when he put on Willie's glasses and he took them off and he started like convulsing? Yeah. He's like, oh.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, that was
funny. It was one of those many hilarious moments.
It was like an extended reaction. It was unexpected.
So I've been watching a lot of Resident Alien lately.
I've seen all seasons of that. It's a great show. I know.
Dan's
I saw it last year.
Oh, Dan.
I saw it last year before all y'all saw it.
I saw it 2 years ago.
You guys,
Alan Tudyk. I love Alan Tudyk.
You guys are all talking about, like, have you seen this new Resident Alien show? It's like, it's not new. I've seen it already.
We haven't seen Shogun.
So we're not talking about Shogun.
Shogun's awesome.
We're not.
Well, maybe we should be talking about Shogun.
Well, what about something else?
It's got Shogun.
What about this? What
you
about
guys
that?
Are like the TV brothers or something. Maybe we should do a podcast. You called mean like the TV brothers.
Like the Property Brothers, except Dan and I show up and argue about which TV shows people should watch
and which ones we've seen first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Resident Alien.
I saw that one.
No, well, I brought up Resident Alien because I was thinking.
Thinking someone's going to say Resident Evil, but it's Resident Alien.
Yeah. Resident Alien.
It messes with you.
Look, yeah. It's a totally different show, obviously. But there's a lot of similarities, and part of what got me thinking about this is we're watching Alf, and Alf is so ridiculous and so absurd. They don't make any effort to try to explain anything or justify anything.
No, why bother?
And it's just everyone's motivations just seem random, just depending on what's funny in the scene. I get it. But I was thinking about it. I was like, oh, but Resident Alien does something very similar, but it's all plausible. It's still alien craziness. Right. So there's a suspension of disbelief, of course. But Resident Alien demonstrates that there is a way to go about this storyline where there is a little bit more structure to what exactly is going on, and a little less like, oh, this alien is sitting on my couch and I'm going to have to clean my couch.
Yeah, but I mean, it's 80s sitcoms. You don't really have to pay attention to why anything's happening.
Just let the kids sit in front of the TV watching children's shows with an alien who, as Jesse suggested, probably smells real gross.
And he probably does. Gorillas smell gross too.
How do you know?
Because I was at a place where I got to smell a gorilla and it smelled really gross.
You went to a place, you were at a place where you got to smell gorilla.
Yeah.
Was that the purpose of the place?
You got to smell a gorilla? Was there a bottle of gorilla?
Was it advertised as like a gorilla sniff?
No, it was an unexpected perk.
Unexpected perk of gorilla whiff.
Gorilla whiffing. We went gorilla whiffing.
You went gorilla sniffing.
You just got a perk of it.
Let's go gorilla whiffing.
I do not want to do that.
No. There was...
Jinx.
Where are you gonna go?
No, I was just gonna mention the theme song.
I was gonna say there was that one wide-angled shot that was like super weird with this part with Willie's quote in particular. This one goes on for like 10 seconds, but this is really weird to me for some reason.
Well, they could. I don't think they would, but they could.
Oh yeah, and yeah.
They might.
He's putting his nose
in. I know this is very exciting.
Right at the end when he goes, but they might.
Yeah.
They might. It was almost a Shatner-esque.
But they might.
A reading right there. We mentioned the spaceship in the roof, a la Solar Opposites. It's again, an absurdity, especially that the army guy didn't notice the thing sticking out of the roof. But the theme music, I was going to mention that, and, you know, heck, I might even just play the theme music.
What?
Or they didn't know that it even landed. Like.
Because this theme music... It's like embedded in my brain.
Yeah.
But there's a certain sourness. There's some sort of like weirdness connected to it. I don't know what that is.
I tend to agree. Yeah.
But there's something where it's like both nostalgic, but with this tinge, this baggage of something else. And I don't know if it's just because Max Wright is goofy or what.
Or he's a family destroyer.
Yeah.
Who was, it was averted.
Da da da. It's funky. Listen to that bass. Pre-Seinfeld.
I don't get it.
Oh, you get it.
Chief O'Brien?
Sabotage.
Now, Dan, earlier you reminded me that there was Alf, the animated series, and then it had a totally different intro.
And it's pretty rockin' song, if I say so.
Here it is. 1987.
Go
So Alf started 1986.
They played Booyah Baseball.
That's right.
Gordon Shumway. And there's a fish.
I don't think it was established this episode that his name is Gordon.
I forgot about the premise. There's a bunch of cats. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So he's going to harvest the cats to eat. The premise of this cartoon is that he's stealing cats.
I don't think that's the premise.
And he's harvesting. It's like a cat farm for food.
I think it's just a slice of life kind of deal.
But so Alf, they're like in an alien world with other Alfs. Other people who look like Alf. And the cats are at a restaurant, but the menu has cats on the menu. So the cats, like in this opening... The cats are at an Alf restaurant on Alf on Melmac or some Melmac colony because Melmac is destroyed, presumably. And they sit down at a table and they open the menu, and the menu is all cat meat. But the cats are reading it and they're all like, oh my God.
You got a cat?
I told you what I thought it was, so I will accept your entry. What did you, it's what not did what I said it was a slice of life. It's a slice of life kind of deal, is that show.
No,
it's just a slice of life.
Pie for me before bedtime.
All right.
It's just like, hey, Melmac.
Hey, Melmac.
But you have a very intriguing sort of premise to
the show.
I'm
not sure what the hell he was talking
about. I think it's a cat farm. I think he was farming cats.
You talking about the show?
The show was weird because it was a bunch of cats singing.
Yeah, well, that was just a bunch of cats singing just now.
It was,
and Alf was
that's
playing
what I'm
the
saying.
Saxophone, yeah.
It exploded.
What a peculiar just invention. Good on Paul Fusco.
Good on Paul Fusco.
Any final
creator of Alf.
Any final bits and bobs?
Any
lest we
I was reading about
the
show and it was interesting. It doesn't have any much to do with this episode, but as the show goes on, they have interesting guest actors. Of various types. Anne Mira plays the mother of Kate, and Paul Dooley plays her husband.
Paul Dooley, famous of
Jim
the
J.
Obsidian
Bullock.
Order.
Jim J. Bullock is on the show. David Ogden Steers.
Oh, he was on TNG as well.
Yeah.
He played the guy who had to kill himself at 60.
That's a bummer.
That's a bummer, dude.
We are not harboring any space creatures.
Neither are we.
I'm going to play the sound one more time. Okay. This other one I played earlier.
All right.
I want complete silence.
Well, they could. I don't think they would, but they could. And they might.
I know this is very exciting.
I don't think they would, but they might.
But they might. They might.
But he's like, they might.
And his acting.
It's like you almost think he's done talking, but then he's like, but they might.
His acting was really good in that. I didn't mean to mention this in that particular fisheye lens thing.
In a fisheye lens. Remember that Lonely Island song? In a fisheye lens.
In the what now?
The other people.
With a fisheye lens.
The other
what
people.
Song?
We're in the is a lonely island. Don't worry about it, Jesse. The other people were all making funny faces, and they're like, "Oh, this is a funny fisheye lens." But Max Wright was the only one to really act with his nose. He was really aware of where his nose was and how he was comically sticking it in the middle of the focal length of the business of the lens. Brilliant stuff, Max.
I think he did more comedy prior to Elf.
Yeah, well, he's a good.
It's Harry.
Good comedian.
Heavy and hairy. It's heavy, it's hairy, and it talks.
You've just described Dan.
And I don't know what it's like on Mork or whatever planet you come from.
Mork.
Well, like, who, me? Wait a minute.
Mork and Mindy.
Did you just make fun of me, Patrick?
No.
You said something. Jesse, what'd he say about me? Jesse, come on. We're buds, right? What did Patrick say about me?
You just, early in the podcast, you said Jesse was full of shit.
I apologize for that. I apologize. Like Willie, I have some anger management issues, apparently.
Wrench!
But unlike Willie, I can apologize for my actions.
Yes, exactly.
What kind of wrench do you think he needed?
He needed that kind of wrench.
Yeah,
because there's like
he didn't specify.
He didn't, but he could have various types of wrenches.
With all manner of wrenches,
different size
could
wrenches.
He threw a wrench into this business.
Maybe he only had brought one wrench with him, and so like Lynn knew exactly which one it was supposed to be.
Yeah, but I still don't see how he's going to fix a spaceship like that.
He couldn't. So. Yeah,
why would a spaceship be using English units?
Yeah, I know. That's a good point.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We've made a sufficient number of good points this this week.
Alf.
That has been episode 2 of It's Not Star Trek, It's Got Alf. Who knows what will come next?
This
definitely,
is my wine voice.
Definitely go check out It's Got Pickles, because that's, that's a great one. Next week we'll get back to our regularly scheduled Star Trekking it up. Star Trekking it around the universe. We'll use Dan's algorithm to figure out what episode to watch. So all
you got it.
All you
got
to do
be based on this one.
All you got to do is
That'd be weird. We should be based on.
Yeah,
this one.
We'll do it based off this one. For those who don't know, Dan's algorithm works by you load up the previous week's podcast, digitize it, put it through the algorithm, and then it produces a list of Star Trek episodes that we should watch that are based off of some obscure calculation that Dan has assigned to different words.
Well, it'll
work. It is a military man.
We've talked about Star Trek enough on this one, probably. Yeah. It should work okay.
So what we'll do
ALF, that's short for alien life form.
we'll do some Star Trek next week. You find out which one by either going to our website, www.itsgotstartrek.com, or you go to our social media, at It's Got Star Trek, on all the various social media things. Follow us there, interact with us, and we will post what the next discussion will be about. You can also go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/ItsGotStarTrek, if you'd like some bonus content and or are just keen on giving us a very, very small amount of money.
I'm keen on being keen.
And Dan is keen on being keen.
Commander Keen.
All right. So that's it for this week.
Keen that's on the green.
Next week, more Star Trek. Back to the old Star Trek. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
You got a cat? And then we could eat their cat.